are listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
So yeah, that was a snapshot of youth this term, and it's been another fantastic term. We love being involved. We had Nick back this term, which of course added 100 decibels to every Friday night. From the outset, we felt like God had a really clear theme of what he wanted to say in putting in place foundations to build on his purposes for every one of our lives. I've been a leader at Frontline for around 3 years now, and it's amazing what God does in each season. There's no better place to be on a Friday night, whether you're learning something for the first time or just affirming what you already know. Being in God's presence, surrounded by Christian people, is developing us into who God created us to be. So tonight's message, I want to base around and I guess jump further into what we've discussed at Youth this term, because deciphering God's will for our lives and what dreams and passions he has intended us to use is just as relevant, I believe, to each of us here as it is for our youth. Regardless of the time you have left on the clock, God is ready to use you and your experiences to develop others, to leave a lasting impression, and to continue to develop yourself as well. So why don't we pray together? Father God, we just thank you for the opportunity to come together on a Sunday night and just lift your name up, that we can come together and we can be a family, we can build each other up, that we can witness to each other, that we can share with each other, whether that is the hardships or whether that is the successes. We just thank you that you are an ever-present God that is ready to meet us wherever we are at. And so we just pray that you would have your way this evening, that we would receive what it is that you have to say. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. How many people know it's easier to make a fitness plan than it is to follow it? Is anyone, yeah? Easier to make one than it is to follow it. Holly, my partner, has recently attempted to set in motion a fitness plan in order to get in shape for our wedding. Now, as every man should say, I always say she looks perfect as is, and she does, but for whatever reason, she just insists that she wants to get on a strict exercise routine. Where this gets difficult is when she asks me to be her personal trainer. Because although she starts off with pure motives, she knows that there are going to be times in the week where she is not feeling like exercising. So she sits me down on a Sunday night. She says, "Now, Matthew, I need you to remember what I'm saying right now. I need you to keep me on track throughout the entire week and make sure that when I don't feel like exercising, I exercise." So sure enough, Monday comes around, it's about 4:30 p.m. and I say, "Did you go for your run today?" And she goes, no, I didn't." I say, "Why?" And she's like, I just can't be bothered." And so I say, "Well, you need to go for a run." And she looks at me like, "Are you calling me fat?" And some men know this as being stuck in a lose-lose situation. You just can't win. Because what she knew was good for her and what she desired at the start of the week was not what her feelings and flesh desired during the week. We in life can make actions and I asked whether that was okay to speak, and she reluctantly said yes. We in life can make actions and decisions based on our flesh or on our spirit. So we are conflicted by two sides of us. And often what is right, what is governed by the spirit, is not what we feel like doing. I've titled this message tonight, "What the Flesh Desires or What the Spirit Requires." As a youth this term, we spoke about what we're doing now and how it can set us up for where we're going in the future. But what we do and where we are going depends on who we are and whether we are being led by that flesh or the spirit. And so the mindset we've been drumming home is actually to set our sights on a destination, or not on a destination and hopes to get there, but a journey as we journey through. So we enjoy being used and developing at every stage of life that we are in. It is more about who we are developing into than where we end up. In the last live night of the year, I told the youth a little bit about my story, and I don't want to spend too long on it tonight, but I grew up with a pretty one-dimensional dream. For 15 years, all I wanted to do was play AFL football, and through God opening doors, it wasn't my ability, but God opened doors, and I got pretty close and ended up playing TAC Cup and 3 years in the AFL reserves. But in the last 4 years, I've experienced a number of setbacks. Throughout this time, there has been a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, and as I ask God, "Why would you bring me so close just to shut that door?" He reveals to me all that he has been teaching me through this to develop me into the person he is calling me to be. someone that is steadfast regardless of the circumstances or regardless of the way things seem. With every injury and setback, it was an opportunity to grow and trust God's plan above my own. There were significant moments that began shaping me into who I was becoming, and I'm still being shaped continuously as I am now. I was once in Box Hill, and there was a moment where the club culture was slipping a little bit, and the first year players actually had to stand up and tell their first sex story, and then they would get up, and after you've told your first sex story, you'd go and you'd have to do a dare. And this room felt so toxic, in such a toxic environment. I had to choose whether I was going to be a part of that culture or a part of God's culture. And they've done great things since then and turned their culture around. But there is a decision that we have to make wherever we are at, whether we want to be a part of a God culture or our own culture in life. So in the tough sections of the journey, that God develops the person ready for his eternal purpose and into the person that radiates God wherever you are. Tonight we are here at church and we make up one body, but we have all come from different experiences, different struggles, and we're going to face different things in the future. In that respect, we are all on an individual journey. In Philippians, Paul finds himself in the midst of a crazy faith journey. For those that don't know Paul, formerly known as Saul, he came from a background of killing Christians before an incredibly amazing encounter turned his life on its head. And to be honest, if I was an aspiring pastor known for killing Christians, I'd want to change my name as well. But such is Paul's new obedience to God's calling, he now finds himself in prison for preaching the gospel, and yet he continues to radiate God. So we're going to pick up a short passage in Philippians 1, verse 15 to 18 tonight. It says, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." So Paul, throughout this entire passage here, is speaking from an introspective point of view. He's speaking from what he can observe and what is affecting him. So when he says, "What does it matter?" with regard to him and his walk, he doesn't need to concern himself with the motives of the other people. What's important for him, for God's kingdom and everybody else, is that the gospel is being shared. There is no way of him truly knowing nor greatly affecting the motives of the people spreading the gospel at the time. Paul has a mindset that is gold to our Christian walk, first critiquing his own motives before he critiques others. As the only person affected by this selfish preaching at the time were those individuals preaching. So Paul here teaches us to first look at ourselves and watch out, because the flesh within us desires to be recognized. Matthew 10 says, "Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." To find our lives means that we know where we're heading. We're going to be governed by the flesh, which usually means seeking recognition. One of the biggest reasons we feel anxious, concerned, and overwhelmed as Christians is because we're doing things for God whilst thinking about ourselves. We go through life consumed by the busyness. Maybe it's going to work and getting home, putting in the extra hours. You get home, you've got to do as many things around the house as you can to be productive with every second, because that's the way in the world we achieve things in this life. And believe me, I'm as guilty of this as anyone, but we can still say, "Yeah, I'm doing all this work for God and I'm doing it for God's glory." But never has the saying been more relevant, I believe, to "don't forget to stop and smell the roses." Are we really serving God if we're not taking the time to spend relationship with him? When Jesus came to the home of Martha and Mary, Martha was consumed by serving him and preparing a meal, whereas Mary was consumed with Jesus' presence. To which Jesus says in Luke 10, verse 42, "Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Our flesh desires to do things for God whilst thinking about ourselves, to be recognized. If Jesus was coming around to my house, I'd probably want to cook something up for him as well. And we see this thinking about ourselves when we constantly concern ourselves and compare ourselves with others. But if we check our spirit and spend the time feeding our spirit the way that Paul did, for we can do, we begin to find ourselves in that. And we can do amazing things when we think about ourselves. We can still do amazing things for God. But we can do even better things, even greater things for God when we're thinking about God. If we pick up at Philippians 1, verse 19, Paul is referring to himself in prison at this time. And I think his attitude is amazing. He says, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Notice that Paul doesn't actually pray for his circumstances to change, but that his courage is made sufficient. God is more interested in changing our spirit than our situation, which I know is a hard thing to grasp at times, but he's more interested in changing what is going to last forever. You might find yourself at the beginning of a tough situation, or maybe a situation that's been with you for years tonight, but God's guarantee is that your situation is temporary, but your spirit is eternal. So perhaps the prayer is no longer, "God, deliver me from this situation," but "God, equip me with the Spirit to get through it." In verse 21, it says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." What an incredible attitude. When I was reading this passage, I was reminded of a scene of one of the great shows, as I think it displays what Paul was like in prison as opposed to what I thought the Philippians thought he would be like. So why don't we watch this video?
We're doing fine. How are you?
What? Me? Fabulous. Just fabulous. And I got a lot of auditions, a lot of callbacks. And I got a lot of interest in my movie treatment. You know, I'm in development. I'm developing vehicles. Man, there's a lot of energy here, man. You know, the vibe, it's powerful. I'm just swept up in it. Yeah, I'm a player.
Player?
Oh, yeah.
Kramer, do you realize what's going on here? Do you know why you're here?
What, this? I'll be out of here in a couple of hours. Hey, guess who I met today? Fred Savage. Oh, nice kid. A really, really good kid. You know, we're talking about doing a project together.
Kramer, you've been arrested as a serial killer.
So? I'm innocent. I mean, you guys believe that I'm innocent, don't you? Jerry?
Yeah, sure.
Kramer, Lee. Let's go. Lieutenant wants to see you.
Yeah, okay, yeah. All right, look, I'll be out of here by noon. Hey, maybe we'll have lunch together, huh?
Very good. Who loves Seinfeld? Yeah, such a great show. Such a great show. I love that such is Paul's security in where he sits, that he is weighing up whether to live or die like it is deciding whether to get a meatball or margarita pizza. He just doesn't care. As Paul writes to the Philippians, they expect him to be like Kramer at the end there, but instead he was full of joy. Paul knows that there is something bigger in life than earning. He knows there's something bigger in life than status. He knows there's something bigger in life than his situation. The irony is that he is in prison, and yet he is the freest man around, being led by the Spirit, not by what he sees and feels in the flesh. He's not worried about outcome. Andy mentioned a great line a couple of years ago when we were chatting. He said, "Obedience is for us, outcome is for God." If we work so hard at getting somewhere that we want to get to, then we sell ourselves short of where God wants to take us. For we don't need to know the details of where we're going. We know that there's a start, God created the world. We know there's an end. Through Jesus, we have an eternal victory. And the details will unfold as our obedience does. Now, I'm going to share a story with you all that I've never actually shared before, one that I'm particularly ashamed of. And I'm not trying to deflect the blame, but when you have two older sisters, it leaves you vulnerable to agreeing to things that you wouldn't necessarily agree to otherwise. So I'm going to own up to the fact that a few years ago, I was actually involved in a Coles Christmas campaign as a model. This was actually quite a big campaign, and there was a bit of a large cash reward, which is why I did it. But given the enormity of this campaign, the other workers were clearly a lot more experienced than I was. This was my first and only photo shoot, of which I really had no idea what to expect. So it was like a whole other world. You go into the audition room and they say, smile, and then I can't remember that much of it, but I remember them saying, now pretend something tragic has happened, and I sort of just squinted. I don't know how I got the part, but like, what do you do if someone says something tragic has happened? I don't know. I can't remember. So you can imagine how I felt when I rocked up to this place and had this experience, which I had just hadn't had any exposure to this sort of thing before. But as soon as I got there, I realized it wasn't so scary. You were just being paid really to sit down, smile every half an hour, and they'd set up the next thing for you. And so comfortable I got that I actually saw some burgers sitting over the side, and they were just little small sliders. And as a bird, I know that if something is free, then you go and you take it and you eat it. So I rocked up and I ate two of the burgers, and a little bit later on, I thought they tasted all right. A little bit later on, the producer comes up getting ready for the next scene and goes, what happened to the burgers? And I honestly put my hand up and said, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to eat them. I had a couple. And everyone sort of looked at me shocked, and because they all knew something that I didn't. Those burgers were actually part of the next scene with, and they had meat in them that wasn't supposed to be eaten, and glue, which was actually holding them together. So they were all waiting for me to be, for them to be sued, for me to sue them. But the funny thing was, I actually thought they tasted okay. I just thought it was an acquired taste. So the lesson I learned, number one rule in modelling, is don't eat things left on sets. Surprisingly, they haven't asked me back. That was my first and only experience of that. Now, you might be asking yourself, why? What does that have to do with anything? Good question. Our choices in life are often like the burger. From the outside, they look brilliant, and you might even convince yourself that it tastes good. But at the end of the day, what you're eating is doing damage to your inside, your spirit. In all of our inexperience and lack of knowledge, our flesh leads us to desire the things that look really good. And when we begin making our way through life, setting goals and plans, and we often align them with what looks good to us. But God can always see what is inside of this metaphorical burger. If we jump back in time before Philippians, Paul is traveling through Galatia, developing churches, spreading God's good news. But in Acts 16, verse 5 to 6, we see everywhere Paul and Silas is going, churches are strengthening and growing in numbers. However, an interesting thing happens in verse 6. It says, the Holy Spirit, not the devil, but the Holy Spirit keeps them from preaching in Asia. Now, if God is blessing each nation that Paul is visiting, then why would the Holy Spirit be stopping them? I understand the Holy Spirit stopping us from doing bad things, but this is a good thing. He's wanting to go and preach. And there was no one better to preach the gospel than Paul. But as every good parent knows, and I'm not a parent, but I know that good parents, sometimes our Father God needs to say no. To put the brakes on what our flesh feels is right through the Spirit, which can see what we can't. At the time, Paul probably had no idea what was going on, similar to the thorn that was in his side. That he asked God to remove. He asked three times and God said no. Paul could have gone back home after this, but the question he asked was, is God still good when the answer is no? Paul kept on believing that God is good. His faith was strengthened and he landed in Philippi after passing up on his own plans. And Philippi was God's purpose, for there was a greater need there than there was in Asia. God sees the greatest need when we just see a need. Philippi was the first place in the Western world where Paul established a church. Therefore, our church right now is a continuation of Paul's obedience to the Spirit. Sometimes God says no. And I think we need to stop giving credit sometimes to the devil when things don't pan out the way we intend them to, because sometimes it is God. God is working in our lives. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, about to be taken to be crucified, all Peter felt like doing was cutting the ear off these guards. But Jesus stopped him as he recognized that there was something spiritual going on far above what was about to unfold in the flesh. And I often think about this, isn't it? Crazy how these soldiers actually had an ear cut off, and then Jesus comes and he puts it back on their ear and performs a spiritual miracle in front of them, and yet they still go on and they take him to be crucified. I mean, this is what happens when we get so caught up in the world and our flesh that we miss the obvious spiritual stuff that's happening right in front of our eyes. So tonight, just as we are encouraged as a youth this term that God has a plan to use our giftings and passions for our lives, it is important to water the seeds God places in our hearts. And in doing so, we need to be aware of God's Spirit developing us into the person He is making us to be, creating for His glory. This might not mean you get to where you were aiming to get to. I don't see myself playing an AFL Grand Final anytime soon. But it does mean you will get to where God intends for you to get to, which is so far above where we can aim for. I'd like to close with a few points that we can take home. That way, what makes sense for me by jumping all over the place can make sense for you. You can write it down and apply accordingly. So 3 points I found to ensure that we are taking spiritual steps is, number one, check your focus. Where is our focus? Are we more critical on ourselves or on the people around us? Is our focus to achieve something that people can affirm us and tell us how good we are? Or is it continuing to seek ways in which we can glorify God, doing things for God whilst thinking about God? Number two, faith. We call this walk with God our faith for a reason. It is a belief in something greater than ourselves. We don't need to know everything, just guidance for the next step. Faith is the leash that keeps us tied to God's plan. Number three I've said is stop and listen. Wait and allow God's voice to permeate our lives and develop us. If we're running through life at a million minutes per second, there's an inside football joke for you, but we're not taking the time to build relationship with God and in doing so learn more about who He says we are, then we're not truly serving Him. I'm so glad personally that I don't have to be responsible for my future, but that God's will that God will take control through His Spirit as soon as we learn to let go. Why don't we pray? And we might get the worship team up as well, if that's all right. Father God, we just thank You so much for Your patience with us as well as we learn how to go about this life, as we learn to listen to Your Spirit, to know Your voice, to hear Your calling on our lives. And we know that it is difficult sometimes. It is difficult to know where we're heading, to know where we're going, but we thank You for all the ways in which You are revealing Your plan and Your purposes for us, both as a church and as individuals. So we just pray that we would humble ourselves before You, that we would put our own flesh desires aside, and that we would see what your will is for our lives and the way in which we can glorify You through the passions and the tools that You have equipped us with. So God, strengthen us together, strengthen our hearts, strengthen our minds. And God, allow Your Holy Spirit to move both now and in the weeks to come, that You would reveal more and more of Yourself and Your Son. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen.